I think the perspective is really important because a lot of people out there today just say, oh, I got so many impressions. Like, so what? That doesn't mean it's going to build your business, because you can go viral any day for something random, but you're looking for clients and they are not the followers who are just following for the namesake of doing it, right?
Welcome to the Self Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you, who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Have you heard the saying, if a tree falls in a forest and no one is around to hear it, does it make a sound? This classic philosophical question sets the stage for our conversation today with Anya Sankar, founder of Anya Creatives, a digital marketing agency and self-proclaimed Nextdoor CMO. In our chat, we dive into the importance of digital marketing and, just like the unheard tree, we'll explore the idea that having a business is one thing, but if no one knows about it, does it truly exist in the market? Anya will share invaluable insights on honing skills in corporate, making the leap to entrepreneurship, and crafting effective marketing strategies. If you're looking to get your company or brand more visibility, then this episode is for you. Anya, thank you so much for taking the time to connect today and really talk all things digital marketing and just the journey that brought you to where you are today.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here and thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on. Now, you are someone that calls yourself the Nextdoor CMO, but I realize that not everyone may be familiar with you. So let's go ahead and dive a little bit into more of who you are and really what you mean by the Nextdoor CMO.
Great question. And it's a great way to get started as well. So I'm Anya Sankar. Hello, everyone. So I was working in a corporate world before I started my business. And I always saw how these bigger organizations have those standard structures for products and marketing and design. And what enabled them to do is focus on the function really well, having someone taking care of that marketing perspective separately. It allowed them to be more creative. They knew where to spend the money. And so I wanted to use that approach when I work with small business owners today. Like, I want to be more like a growth marketing partner for them, where they can either focus on their products or services, but I'm helping them with their marketing strategy overall. And this could sound complicated, but it's actually not, because I'm just going to take up the work of how do you promote, how do you retain. We figure out like what strategies work for a specific business, a core service.
So basically what you're saying is that you have been able to utilize your experience in the corporate world and use a similar approach with your own independent business.
Yeah, because I was in marketing before I started all this stuff. So I kind of knew behind the scenes of how do you create the funnel back end. But then with the biggest organization, we have a lot of people doing that individual work, because marketing is a lot of creativity, some strategic decisions you have to make. Plus, you got to have a lot of perseverance as well, because not every campaign is going to work. And you'll want to be able to measure those data points at the right time and then come back and read it all over again. So it's not a one-person job. If you're already having a business to run, and I understand the idea of like you kind of creating content, talking with the clients. So I just think the way I would want to partner with entrepreneurs is that let me be your marketing partner as you figure out your content in terms of getting clients, and I would help you to leverage with my market expertise to make it all like a one seamless journey.
I know you call yourself the Nextdoor CMO. And for those people that don't know what CMO means, CMO stands for Chief Marketing Officer. But you're not just a CMO, you're also a CEO, because you own your own business. You're your chief executive officer. So you're really just the full-on C-suite here.
Yeah, I think I started off just with a blog many years ago, and I was sharing with my friends and family, and I had a full-time job in marketing. But then I understood, okay, there's something deeper than what I was, I don't know how I knew, but I see you. And so the more and more I just dive deep into what I was doing or was practicing, I realized, oh my, there's so much more you can actually do with just with, you know, writing and marketing. And so I got hands-on experience with website development or SEO and all the tools, because I've just spent hours figuring out how to do something behind the scenes of my own business. So when I work with clients today, I get that pain point. It's not easy to figure out how do you just put together a bunch of worth on a website, because that should tell your story and your content is working for you 24/7. So when you have the opportunity to display that, it's like your online banner, right? Your website. So it has to represent your story. And so I love being able to work with them. And because I own my own business as well, like I get the pain point. I know what that is like. And so as I'm running, I am the CEO of my business, but I want to be the CMOs of like the other entrepreneurs around.
That's amazing. And I loved what you said, that your content is working for you 24/7. And we are going to dive a little bit more into how we can really allow content to work for you. But I do want to make sure that this one point doesn't get lost in the story here, because you said that you actually started your journey with a blog. So did you start your journey with blogging while you were in corporate, or were these two paths kind of separate?
Oh, I was still working. I don't think I left my corporate job. I tried to hold on for a lot of other reasons. I wanted financial support. I wanted to have a little account, a little money coming in. I also wanted to have a little more skill set in marketing, because I was doing the back-end marketing data campaign, the data-wise, but I wasn't writing campaigns for my own company back then. So when I started this blog, I was able to talk with my colleagues as well, like, hey, what does this mean? And I could get those reference points, like linking behind the scenes. And so every lunch hour I got, every time I got from my corporate job, I spent on writing. I remember getting up at 5 a.m. on some days just to write, because I just loved the creativity process of writing. And so, and with my job, I was able to manage that because I was already in marketing. So it did not actually hinder my day job at all.
That's amazing. And I think sometimes like the best things do start while you are also in corporate, because like you said, like sometimes you do need the financial security to be able to fuel what your passion is on the side, and things like blogging and podcasting for that matter. I mean, we're on a podcast. Those things don't make money right overnight. They take time to build. And so when you decided that you wanted to start this blog, what was your blog about?
At that time, I was writing a lot of self-growth. I was obsessed about personal development. I kept reading these books on various topics about neuroscience, about mind, about habits. And I was also in the process of becoming a better version of myself. And so I was deeply passionate about it. And since I also loved writing, it was a perfect creative outlet for me to find a perfect little blog. And I did enjoy it for a while. But I think as I learned the technical aspects of it, I look for courses and how can I become a WordPress expert? What is SEO? How can I make sure I measure my data? I've always been this data nerd, so I have to understand that if I'm doing something today, is it at least working in a couple of weeks or months? So I figured you had these tools to measure these data points you have from blogging or the visits and conversion, which is what I was doing for my company anyways. So it was very personal. Everyone was doing it for me in a very small screen, like small numbers, visits, and conversion. So it's a beautiful journey, but you have to balance out the job with the side hustle, like not getting burnt out. And I was also PMing, so I kind of knew that when I had to stop before I burn out completely and when I had to go back and work.
Yeah, and I think that you said something really interesting earlier. It's about, you called yourself a data nerd. And so you like the analytics about it. So I think when people are thinking about what to start for their business, sometimes when you're in corporate, it's really good to look at what do I do like about my job? And clearly you loved the creative element to it. You loved being able to really dive into the data and analytics. And it sounds like you also enjoyed really like helping people kind of progress. And that's why I know you said you spent hours figuring it out yourself, and now you're really helping your clients do the same thing. So it's really interesting because in corporate, we get so many great skills that we get to really develop here and then take those and use them to really build a business that lights you up even more inside.
Yeah, I think it can be challenging if you think your job is not completely fulfilling you, but you're still there for security, financial, but you want something to do better. I would just say that figure out the resources you have today at your corporate role, because they have a ton of learnings and they have an amazing network, because you can connect with anybody in your company because you're the same company, and that easy connections right away, right? And so even if you don't have that initial launch, you can always rely on the skill set to keep learning and then start saving up, and you find that right segue which works for you and your family personally.
Definitely. And I know, speaking from experience, a lot of the companies that I worked for always had professional development budgets where you would get a certain amount of money every single month or every single year to be able to allocate towards a learning. And in your case, the skills that you were working on in your corporate job also were skills that you were interested in developing for your side hustle here. So it really works if you can really take advantage of the time in the corporate world to be able to really utilize and maximize the experience there.
Yeah, I remember I take my feedback pretty seriously, and my boss used to give me really good feedback on, you're lacking this, but you're really good in this. And one time she said, I want you to focus on leadership. You know, I want you to negotiate better and all that. I'm like, that's a really good feedback. And we had budget dollars assigned to it. So I took up a course in Harvard because, like, why not? They're going to sponsor my education anyway. All I had to do was spend 30, 40 hours in a week. And that it was a pandemic as well, so I had more time. So I was like, okay, let's leverage it. So I think I was one of the very few resources then who used that development budget every single quarter, because not everybody used it, but you actually have thousands of dollars at your hand, which you can get really good courses just like that because you're in a part of corporate.
Completely agree. It's a definitely underutilized benefit, and more of us should take advantage of it if we are still leveraging the corporate space over here. But I know that you started this blog. At what point did you decide that you really wanted to take your side hustle and make it your full-time hustle?
I didn't plan this too much at that time. So I was in my corporate for almost 10 years. I was doing back and forth job, and I knew I was getting into writing, and all I had was a blog. I didn't have any plan as to I wanted to do this and that. But as I started working with clients, I mean, I posted on LinkedIn, I guess, the first time I'm doing writing services because I was having a blog. And then people reached out to me and said, hey, write for my website, write for me and all that. And then I began to feel that, okay, I was doing more marketing because I had all the knowledge from my role and from what I had done in my previous experience, the blog. And so it was a process that I understood over the period of months that, okay, I can also do consulting, marketing, and copywriting, but it was not something that I knew that one day I want to do this. I think it evolved as I figured out things by myself, as I worked with clients initially.
So it was pretty much something that just evolved based on you discovering where your passions were and putting it out there on LinkedIn, saying that you were offering X service at the time. And it just continued from there.
Yeah. And you also begin to understand as to what the user actually needs. So when I started this journey, I wasn't very clear I was going to do marketing and all that. I had just had a blog. And I knew I love writing, and I knew SEO. So I thought I was going to focus on, you know, creating a better blog post, or like I had to figure things out, and I was okay with it. But as I worked with clients in my initial consultations, I figured that people didn't know the question was I was trying to ask them. Like I would ask them, like, what is the goal for this web copy? Like what is the funnel goal? They'd be like, what is the funnel? Oh, that's interesting. Like people didn't know that, and they were trying to write a web copy without understanding the goal of the marketing objective. So, as I asked like more questions, I figured that there was a need for coaching in that sector because I came from corporate, so I was kind of used to all the jargons and the measurement they kind of use, but it was not the case with people I work with because they don't have this humongous team of like delegating, okay, take care of marketing. So I kind of fit that sector where I could leverage what I learned from my experience and my skills. I kept learning for sure, and I used that as a segue to teach people as well. This is exactly what a funnel looks like and how should you create a strategy that focuses mainly on your goal.
Well, and what I really like too is that you really included people in the process. You were kind of asking people the struggles that they were coming across. In that process, you learned that there was a lack of education, and you wouldn't have known that if you hadn't have just continuously had relationships and communication with all of these people, and you realized that there was a need for coaching people here. So, at what point did you decide to actually let go of your corporate life and go all in on a business of your own?
I think it was a long term coming. I was debating between when do I do this? You know, I was like debating for every quarter because I knew I wanted it, but I also knew what that life looked like, the instability, the uncertainty I had to deal with, and the pressure I would have. And so I was kind of pushing it, okay. Let's try one more quarter. Let's try one more quarter, I think. And then I got one project back at my company, but I loved it. I mean, that was digital marketing core, and I just loved the project. So I made a goal that once I wrap this project, I'm going to quit. And it was, I think, around December, and I was still figuring out, like, do I really want to do it? And then I told myself, if you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. And so I didn't have a job, like a backup job. I just told my boss, I'm just done. And he did not believe me. He's like, you're doing really well. Why are you quitting? And I said, I'm just not happy with what I do. I need to be more fulfilled. You know, I'm looking for fulfillment. He's like, you have a higher salary job. I'm like, no, I don't have a job. I promise you, I'm not going to Amazon. I'm not going to Bitcoin. I'm just going to take a break and figure out things for me. And it was a hard decision to make, but I also knew that if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. So I just took a plunge. And I made a pact that if things don't work out in 2 years, I'll come back to corporate. I did have experience. I had 10, 12 years. So I told myself, if this doesn't work out now, you can always come back. But let's just try. And it was all the pandemic time. And then, but it was a weird timing because just when I quit my job is when people started losing jobs as well. So I was really scared at one point, but I'm like, it's done. So there's nothing more I can do.
Well, I think it's worked out for you, but I find it really inspiring what you're talking about. Basically, you just took a bet on yourself because earlier you were talking about that you didn't move forward because of the uncertainty and the lack of stability and just the pressure that would be on yourself. But you got to a certain point where you decided that if I don't do this now, I may never do it. And you just made a goal for yourself that after that project, you would go all in. And like you said, the worst thing that can happen if you take that leap is that eventually you go back to corporate. Like that's the absolute worst thing that can happen. And when you think about it, like, is it really that bad?
Yeah.
Personally, I would rather have tried and maybe it didn't work out than have never tried at all, because
Yeah.
then I'd always have that what if in the back of my head.
Exactly. I know a lot of people in my friends circle who are not happy with their job, but they're happy with the financial freedom. And I think you figure out like what is important for you. Because if financially, if you want to be independent, and that's fine too, but you got to be okay with that as well. I mean, whatever decision that makes. For me, I just felt that I worked my ass off for 10 years, so I deserve a break. I deserve the outlet where I can at least get to try. Because I was working many hours with my blog, with my company, and we're like, okay, I'm just gonna take a break and see. But it actually turned out well. But yeah, that was a hard part, figuring things out.
I'm sure, but I would argue that it probably wasn't a break because you're probably working equally as hard, but you're working on something that is yours now rather than someone else's.
I think I misspoke. I meant like a break from corporate, but I already knew that I was not gonna sit home and like waste time. I had this robust plan when I was gonna work so many hours. So I was already like hyped up for all that. So I thought
Yeah.
it's okay to take a corporate break right now and let's just see what's going to happen. That's how it started.
And you have really seen what's happened. I mean, you have been extremely successful helping your clients with their marketing strategy. So I'd love to just dive into a few ways that you do work with your clients and how you're helping them today.
So I have a varied set of clients, and what I do with them is that I would understand their business, how the business model works. Some of them are service oriented, some of them are e-commerce, some of them are products and whatever that would be. So I would figure out what do they want today from their business. That could be like more brand awareness. If they're just starting out, they want people to know about their brand. Or if they are already having a good customer, but they want to upsell or cross-sell, how do you retain more customers? Or you just want more leads? And so we would figure out the business goal for that project. And based on that, I would look at the resources they have today. Because I think if I'm giving you a strategy to work with, you should be flexible enough for you to work around it. And that depends on how many hours you have, how many resources you have. I don't believe in just creating a random thing and giving it to you. It has to work for your business, your timeline, and your goals. I had a client who just had 3 hours for content. So she has 3 kids. So I'm not going to give her a sophisticated platform where she cannot even work around. So I kind of work with the timelines and the goal as well. And we figure out maybe a content strategy if that's what they want. And then we measure them in a few months or a few weeks to figure out, is it actually working? Are they actually having visits or conversions as to what they truly want? Because you can always measure the results. And I'm very keen on that. Whatever strategy I provide, could be social media or website conversion, are you actually seeing numbers pop up? If not, we'll again come back to see, okay, what can we change at this point? And how can I better improve, maybe better skill set, maybe a better, enhanced strategy just designed for them.
And so what I'm hearing is that you are putting together a customized strategy. So you're not necessarily producing all of the content for them, but you're holding hands with them, figuring out what kind of content they do need to be able to create and what is kind of the strategy behind moving forward with the digital marketing and the content marketing and all the SEO and copywriting and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So I do the website copy alone. Okay. Create social media content because most of my clients do have someone like intern helping them out with, I kind of create the guidelines for them though, what content pillars they want to be known for. I would create a guideline, but then I usually, the clients I've had so far do have people helping them with social media content, but I would help them with website and blog and strategies in general.
I realize that like everyone listening is at different stages of their entrepreneurial journey. So at what point have you found like the most successful partnership to be when someone kind of comes to you? Like when would someone really be ready in their business to be able to seek out help from you?
It depends on how much he or she knows about marketing and how much they want to spend the money. And I understand not everybody has the budget for marketing right away. You may work with website development or a vendor to get website development run for you, but things can work out. If you're getting the sales you already want, then you don't have to invest in marketing right away because you already have numbers showing and that is working for you. But if you've spent a couple of grand with website development, but don't have SEO set up, then I would say, well, spend some more and get the SEO set up. So you'll start seeing conversions. And I think a lot of time when vendors work with clients on website development, they don't do the basic stuff of SEO or even the Google Analytics setup. But I don't know how can people understand if the work you're doing even actually makes sense. So I think if you're an entrepreneur figuring out like, do I need marketing? Look at the numbers. If you have enough conversions on your website, you're doing great in some way, then you got to figure out how do I get more people come to my website. If people are coming to your website and they're not converting, then look for website copywriting. If you're looking for creating content, you don't have any idea, then invest in a blog creation. It depends on what journey you are in your cycle or how much money you have to invest and even the resources you have. You have to have patience in marketing to experiment something and have strategies. So, and there's a lot of inventory issues with products, businesses, even in general. So how much can you spend time on SEO perspective, but then think of long-term game, because marketing is always going to give you long-term but very high yielding qualified results.
So it sounds like, I mean, you have obviously taken a very analytical approach to your entire marketing strategy. So like you said, it is a little bit of a long-term play, but it takes a little bit while to see the results of all of your efforts here. Obviously, everyone's at different stages of their journey, but if they're really just starting out with just a general marketing strategy in general, where would you say like they should be able to kind of place the emphasis on really where they should be focusing?
Your web copy for sure. And then social media. I mean, choose a platform where you're able to create content for that platform. And what I mean by that is TikTok has more videos. LinkedIn has more text format, and Instagram has a combination of text plus. So figure out what platform you can commit to in a format that you are comfortable with. And so we can start with that, because if you're just starting out, you want to build more brand awareness to your website. So sharing, you know, telling your friends to share and asking for feedback as well. Because when you write your website, it may be crystal clear for you. But ask a friend, does it really convey the message? Because not everyone can spend the money, and I understand that. But then to make sure that your messaging is like communicated well, ask colleagues, ask feedback, and to see if people are actually coming back. There's actually a tool called Microsoft Clarity, which is free. You can download that, install to your website, and that'll actually tell you the sessions when people log into your website. It'll tell you like where people are clicking, and where you can make improvements. So you can use these free tools at that point in time, make sure that your mobile speed is like, optimized that point in time. The basic stuff you can just finish by yourself. And then as you get more people coming, that's one way to look at it. If nobody is coming, then do SEO as well. So if you are a service-based business in a local area, you want to spend more time on local SEO, like Google Maps and Google Profiles and all that. If you're having a local, like a restaurant or a cafe, you want to have more local things than the blog. So it depends on where your location is, what kind of services you offer, and how do you create something specifically for your business.
Well, like you said, at the very beginning, it's really all about creating that brand awareness, because you could build the most beautiful website out there that has wonderful copy, but if no one knows about you, then your website is just going to sit there and you're not going to get any business. Nothing's going to convert. So brand awareness is huge. But I saw on your LinkedIn that you actually said that posting content on social media alone isn't considered marketing. So can you maybe just dive a little bit more into that aspect of things?
Yeah. Social media is complicated in many ways. So if you figure out marketing is just how you communicate your brand to a wider audience, right? So, and then posting on social is fine. We also understand like, what do you want to be known for in that social platform, right? So you could create these content pillars, like the main topic that your brand should be known for, and you can create content around that. The thing with social, it does take time to build that awareness. You always got to go back to your content pillars and saying, how is this related to like my brand today? And how am I going to post content that is informative to my audience with these content pillars? So like random posting is not going to do any good. But if you have a strategy where you know what you want to be known for, and then you experiment on the kinds of posts you can actually create. For LinkedIn, you can do carousel posts or plain images. You can play around with the layouts and the content and text, but the content pillar should still remain the same. And over time, as you build it, is how you build the brand awareness as well. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. And you talked about the topic of content pillars. In all of my kind of research, I've been finding that people typically say to post about like 5 different things that you want to be known for. Is that similar to like the advice that you're giving, or how are you really thinking about these different content pillars?
I would say 3 to 4. I mean, I don't think content pillars are like broad topics. I think 3 to 4 is a good number to begin with. I mean, the deeper you get, it's hard for you to get that simplified context. So choose 3 topics you want to be known for, and then choose a platform that you're comfortable with. And then create multiple content formats to see what is working for you. And you got to be consistent, and I understand it's sometimes challenging. You use tools like, you know, Buffer or Canva Pro to schedule that in advance. That's what makes sense to you. But then if you understand what you want to be known for, eventually you will build a brand awareness. Always give a backlink back to you with your landing page or your websites. People know that, okay, he or she does this. And if you think about it, when you log in on social media today, when you see someone's face, you will know what they are known for as you consume. And that's your goal, that today they may not know that, but as you build out the content, eventually they will know, okay, this person does this. They may not know the exact details of how you do it and what you do and all that, but they'll know that this person is there. And that's your goal in very simple ways. And as you build authority in that space, be creative in the kind of content you want to create as well. Look at the competition and see what is working, what is not working. But you've got to have a lot of patience and perseverance in social, because you are going to be against the algorithm initially. You are going to figure out that, okay, I didn't get so many likes, and that is okay. But as you practice and as you get not the knowledge of what is working for you, you will get to a point where things are working for you.
Oh, believe me, I know. I mean, just starting out self-starter. I mean, it was interesting because when I was posting in the corporate world on LinkedIn not too long ago, my impressions were like in multiple thousands. I mean, I had over 100,000 impressions for some of my posts. But now that I've switched topics and gears, like the impressions have gone down. But I think it's about just staying consistent and really sticking to, like you said, those key pillars, because it sometimes does take a little bit of time to build that awareness, or in my case, like rebuild, like kind of an identity for myself. So I think that it's really just important to echo what you said. It's just staying consistent, really just being clear on who you are and who you are not. In that way, eventually when people see your photo, they know exactly who you are. They might not know exactly what you do, but they'll have a pretty good idea, and then they can go ahead and dig in and look further. But you mentioned also having like a landing page or a website that you can always redirect them to. And then from there, I think the goal is obviously, I mean, this might be a little bit of a topic change, but getting people onto the newsletter. So I think that that's where you're really able to help them kind of move everyone to the top of funnel and then really down the funnel as well.
Absolutely. And with social, you got to know that there are people playing the game really well. Mm-hmm. And that may not be exactly authentic as the way you are when you're starting out. And I've had this trouble of thinking, oh my God, that post literally sucks. And why is that being shared a million times? And so there's lots of things on social that you've got to be patient with. People just do for followers at some point in time, and you got to know your purpose of it. You want to actually build clients, you're building a business, and that reminder also will keep you like sane when you're actually being on social.
Yeah, I think it's important not to play the comparison game. I think it's important to, like you said, do your research, understand who the competition is out there, seeing what's going well, seeing what's maybe not hitting so well, but also really be true to who you are and really not compare your journey to someone else's, because that's when you go down the rabbit hole and it's no good from there. But I would like to just touch on some kind of mistakes that you're seeing people make as far as their market strategy that's out there, because I think that is really how you can help people. It's like overcoming them and being able to work with you.
So one thing people, they want instant results. Like today you post something, they want results tomorrow. Like, that's not going to work. And also that the number of followers you have or just doesn't equally the client, that number is not even proportionately the same, because you want people to invest in your business. You want people to invest in you as a brand, and that he or she may not be a follower initially to what you do. You can see the impressions and see people are coming to your site. There's one way you can even track in LinkedIn is that the requests you get now, are they coming from potential clients? That's a good thing. Even if you may not have like hundreds and thousands impressions, if you had 3 to 4 requests who are founders, you're winning the game. I think the perspective is really important, because a lot of people out there today just say, oh, I got so many impressions. Like, so what? That doesn't mean it's going to build your business, because you can go viral any day for something random, but you're looking for clients and they are not the followers who are just following for the namesake of doing it, right? Because when someone follows you, I think they want to know more about you. They could be jealous about you. They're intrigued about you, but you don't want that. You want people who are like, okay, I like this person and I want to work with them maybe someday. And that is your goal. So have a perspective of numbers. It is not just about the numbers and clients and the shares right away, but you have to have a perspective on where you are today and how do you measure progress from where you are today to where you want to be.
Love that. Again, it's like, it's looking at the data and really just having a good idea of where you started and where you're going, and really not getting hung up on like the little nuisances along the way. Just keep moving forward, keep putting good content out there and connecting with people that are really your target audience. Because I mean, I was just having a conversation with someone today and they were like, wow, you've grown your LinkedIn quite a bit with your follower count. And I said, well, yes, but if you really look at my followers, a lot of them are males. And that's really not my target audience. And they're males because I came from corporate sales and a lot of men are in corporate sales. So it's just the topics that we were talking about. And now that I am really gearing conversations towards empowering women, I'm actually really wanting to connect with a completely different audience. So sure, it may look like I have thousands of followers, but sure, I want to connect with everyone. But I mean, the people that I'm really trying to help here today, that's not really the biggest audience that I have on LinkedIn.
Yeah, because numbers can play such a big deal. And you have to have that perspective because, well, I don't blame anyone because people are flaunting their numbers on apps, right? I mean, you are like giving that like thing, hey, I got so many followers today. I'm like, yeah, I mean, and that can provoke you in a way that, oh my gosh, am I missing out on something? Or people don't like me, I don't like my content. But I think that when it comes to numbers, it's just like anything else, right? It does not mean the bigger number, the bigger gold digger. You have to really hone down to, is this something that I want to be known for? Because you are not an influencer here. You are running a business. And yep, that's a huge difference, right? I mean, you cannot be online all the time showing off how amazing your life is. If someone is doing that, it's just going to exhaust them at some point. So numbers are important, but learn to measure from where you are today.
It's about quality over quantity. And I think that's why the term micro-influencers has become a thing, because the influencers, yes, they have a ton of followers, but they actually might not be making the most money out there. Sometimes like the brands are wanting to work with the micro-influencers, which I know that's a little bit of a topic change in itself, but it just goes to prove that follower count isn't everything. It's really making sure that you have a really engaged audience that values you and really wants to work with you. Because I mean, as a business owner, you have to make money.
Yeah. Go back to your search console and see, are you getting visits? And that is all important.
So much important stuff here. And I think just the key takeaway from this conversation is it's, while it is an investment to really invest in a marketing strategy and it does take time, it is an investment worthwhile because it is important to have a strategy. You really need to be able to understand your funnel and how to move people through the funnel and really work on creating just the strategy at all different stages of your business.
Absolutely. Very well said.
Yes. So I always like to ask people here at this kind of stage in the show, like, you obviously have been on this journey for a few years and you started in corporate and you always had dreams for like more creativity and you really wanted to give this a shot. So if you were to like think back at yourself when you were still in corporate and just starting out your blogging career here, what kind of advice would you tell to Anya a few years ago?
Oh my God, I have so much to say. Because I think when I was corporate, right? Corporate role, you actually get to take more risks in your job. Like you can negotiate with your boss for a higher salary. I mean, you have to keep negotiating in your business. Like, how do you figure out that stuff? And so I think for entrepreneurship, you've got to have your business skill plus your development skills as well, like communicating and negotiating. and speaking up to like people who don't respect you all the time. And I think that I could have leveraged that in a much better, because I was in a very safe spot in my team. Like my boss always backed me up. And so there was no need for these unnecessary conflicts. And I think that I could have done a better job in picking up those negotiation skills for sure. And knowing that the outside world is not going to protect you all the time. You are going to have clients where you don't have a rapport with. You are going to have clients where they're not happy with what you do. And how do you get that emotional regulation in the end? I think it is much easier to practice at a corporate job than in an entrepreneurial life. I think I wish I had focused more on that. I did focus on other skills like SEO and all that. I think the development skills, which I had to learn from experiencing, was a little more painful than what I had wished for. But it's something that I think leadership, negotiation, public speaking, communication would have been a must thing for all of us to get into for entrepreneurship.
I love that, because that is the first time anyone on this podcast has said that answer. And I think that it's really important, because negotiation, I mean, and leadership skills and public speaking, I mean, you have to be your biggest advocate as an entrepreneur. Eventually, if you want to hire people, you're going to have to learn how to lead a team. You might be working on different brand deals and like advocating for your worth and negotiating potential like coaching packages. And then public speaking, like it goes back to advocating for yourself. Like you are creating that brand awareness like you're talking about. In today's day and age on social media, people want to see your face. Like that's what we were talking about. Like people need to recognize your face. So being able to get in front of the camera and kind of tell your story and really talk about those three pillars is everything. So those three things are massive in just like what you need in order to move forward with entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I think start with your boss. Just negotiate for a salary hike and see where it goes. Because I think that I didn't practice those stuff as much as I should have, but I was very protected in that safe space with my team. But yeah, negotiating, you got to try. And it's a skill that you have to learn. It doesn't happen overnight. And so the sooner you learn, the better for you.
Especially as women, I think we are naturally a little less likely to be able to advocate for our self-worth. And I think that's a really important lesson that we all could really hone in on. I mean, I know I've had to ask for raises in the past and they were earned, don't get me wrong, but I always felt really uncomfortable going into them. But walking out, taking a step back, I was able to always negotiate what I was asking for. So, I mean, it was always a win. But looking back, the worst thing that could happen is you got a no. Yeah. So like, what do you have to lose other than you gain some practice along the way?
Yeah.
Anyways, this has been such a wonderful conversation, Anya. For those people that are wanting to learn a little bit more about just marketing in general and how they could potentially work with you to formulate a marketing strategy for their business, where could they go ahead and find out a little bit more about what you're doing?
LinkedIn or my website. It's anyasankar.com, ANYASANKAR.com.
Wonderful. And I will make sure that not only your website, but also your LinkedIn are both linked in the show notes today. So thank you so much for taking the time to share a little bit of tips and tricks on just overall marketing strategy. This has been a really valuable conversation and I hope everyone enjoyed it as much as I did.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure and I really loved it.
As we wrap up our conversation with Anya, there's one key takeaway from our conversation that we want to leave you with. And that is, in the world of business, it's not just about having a great product or service. You must also have an effective marketing strategy for it to truly exist in the market. Because in today's digital age, ensuring your business is heard and seen is just as vital as the product or service itself. So let me ask you, self-starter, are you ready for your business to be heard and seen? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.